En direct des studios LDDC à Montréal, la descente du coude, le podcast qui run la place, oh, JJ Wallace, invité spécial.
Oh yes, sir!
Je savais pas quoi dire, j'ai choqué un peu.
T'es choqué.
Ah, ouais.
Ouais, on est un invité.
Ah ouais?
On est un invité.
Puis un warning, ça va être en franglais.
Là, c'est pas un featuring, c'est vraiment un invité. Là. Ouais, c'est un
ça sera franglais. Pas en franglais, ça va être anglais-français. Parce qu'on va... ça va être une partie en français peut-être, une partie en anglais. Des... Ah, ça va être tout ça. Mais... À soir, que dis-je, après-midi au studio LDDC, on reçoit le représentant de Toronto. Il roule sa bosse depuis à peu près 5-6 ans. Dans la dernière année, le Québec l'a adopté tout d'abord en tant que frat boy, mais autant solo que maintenant en tant que membre du Gabo Gang. Âgé de 30 ans, il domine la scène canadienne présentement. Depuis 2013, il est passé par plusieurs fédérations, dont Big Time Pro Wrestling, Square Circle Wrestling, Steel City Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Eclipse, OCW, Fringe Pro Wrestling, House of Glory, Fight Brand, Extreme Intense Championship Wrestling, Alpha, Pure Wrestling Association, Super Kick, Lucha Toronto, International Wrestling Cartel, Smash Wrestling, C4, GCW, Deadproof Fight Club, Barry Wrestling, Rock Solid Wrestling, Crossfire Wrestling, Border City Wrestling, Greek Town Pro Wrestling, Destiny Ward Wrestling, Canadian Wrestling Federation, Global Force Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Rampage. Il y a beaucoup de wrestling, hein? Metro Pro Wrestling, Remix Pro Wrestling, XWA, Empire State Wrestling, Glory Pro, ROH, NGPW, LDD, CPW, Impact, Acclaim, IWS, XW, Battle Club Pro, NSPW, UCW, Battle War, Black Craft Wrestling, Lutte 07 Beyond, FLQ et Smash!
Wow. Wow.
De tout ça, il ressort le championnat par équipe Royal Canadian, le PWE Tag Team Championship 2 fois, IWC Tag Team Championship 3 fois et Greek Town Cup Champion. On l'a connu en équipe avec son partner Trent Gibson as la fraternité, mais plus récemment, il a fait son entrée dans le Gabo Gang afin de dominer le Québec. Ce soir, il enfile autant son chapeau de lutteur que de promoteur que d'amis afin de venir se présenter à son nouveau public. On reçoit le Bronco Blanc, la Nitro, on reçoit le Pretty Hardcore, Channing Decker!
Merci pour m'avoir, les gars.
Hey, so, what's up, man? How you doing?
That's all the French you're going to get for the time being, so I can speak right from the heart for you guys. You know?
That's the longest list I did, right?
Yeah, I don't even think half of those are accurate, actually. I'm not even sure. Some of those I haven't even heard of, you know, to be honest with you.
So it's not true. You just
add everybody.
Some of them have been 5 or 6 years since I've seen those promotions, but you know what I mean? They gave me my start, and I appreciate that absolutely. You know.
Mais on dirait que ça donne que... Il y a beaucoup de promotions. Hein. Ça a l'air pas mal d'être en Ontario.
Non, quand j'ai commencé ma carrière, j'avais la chance de faire la lutte plusieurs fois dans les États-Unis.
Oh.
C'était vraiment en Pittsburgh et Detroit que j'avais mes premières opportunités plus grandes. Et j'ai dit à mes amis dans la lutte aussi, c'est un peu drôle que... Quelquefois, tu dois déménager plus loin de votre, où tu as commencé pour avoir les opportunités. Parce que quelquefois, c'est les nouveaux yeux qui peuvent regarder à toi dans une différente façon, tu sais.
Il y a beaucoup de monde qui scout. Il y a beaucoup de scouting que tu fais, puis quand tu vas partout, donc c'est bon.
Pour mon promotion, tu veux dire.
Ben, pour toi en tant que lutteur, mais même en tant que ça, t'es promoteur aussi, t'es Greek Town?
Yes, I am, very much so.
So you can scout, even when you go wrestling, you can scout for new talent?
Well, that's pretty much how it began in the first place, was just collecting what I felt was the most talented friends of myself that I found on my trips that I could bring into one promotion and create the most interesting roster possible without necessarily bringing in names like much you guys have started as well. Yep. And that's probably how I ended up out here in the first place when Max first gave me a call.
Yeah. So speaking of how it all started, are you a fan of wrestling since you're young?
Very much so. I think it was probably, you know, I actually look at it as kind of getting into it late. You know, I might have only been 7 or 8, 9 years old, but I guess in hindsight, that's not late. But it was. I'll tell you this because it's just such a funny, ridiculous story. The first day that got me hooked on professional wrestling, and this will sound late, but it was when Sting joined. What did Sting do? Did he fake join the Wolfpack? Now I don't even remember this moment.
He joined the Wolfpack with the red Sting.
Yeah, with the Wolfpack Sting. Of all moments to hook me, for whatever reason, that was it for me. I said, I have to continue watching this. And you know, it's
the cast interview devenait mauvais. Genre, à ce moment-là, interview, ça venait pas.
Completely against his integrity, you know. I mean, he always fought the NWO, and then, yes, at this exact moment, let's join the Wolfpack for whatever reason at the time it was.
Stupid. Et puis, comment t'as commencé à lutter?
À quel âge?
How did you start wrestling? How did you discover local wrestling? Because you discovered wrestling at TV with Sting, with the Wolfpack.
Yes.
But then how did you discover local wrestling?
And now, for those of me that think I'm crazy today, really, as a child, I was truly insane. Like, you know, this is a much more reduced version of who I am, which is, to me, even scary to think of. I hope I never have a child that was anything like me. Really, what I always desired to be the center of attention, especially as a child. You know, I really was just the noisiest kid in the classroom, and who knows what I was trying to express in that moment, but I just always wanted to march to the beat of my own drum, and so I always yearned for the stage, always excelled at athletics, hockey, soccer, basketball. I was the kind of kid that played on all the teams. You know, I wasn't going to the NHL, but I just loved, that's what I knew, and that's what I loved, how to express myself. And so in high school, I got into performance, I got into music, I played in some bands. Some fun trivia questions here is I was once, for a very long period of time, the lead singer of a Strokes cover band in high school. No kidding. And what else did we play? We played Block Party, we played Interpol, we played...
So you can sing well.
There was a time when I would have been operatically trained in singing.
So you can use that in your
Think they come to Joanne Dream.
Not quite. It was not something that came more naturally to me, but it was something that I loved and was very passionate about.
Mais surtout parce que tu avais center stage, puis tu avais l'attention.
Exactly.
Mostly because you have the attention.
I think so. And I was just so passionate about music at that time. You know, I remember first seeing the Strokes, of all things, on Conan O'Brien. This would have been
Strokes.
Like 01 or 02, and thinking, my God, these are the coolest fucking guys I've ever seen in my life. And so that was my introduction to performance. And then honestly, when that kind of fizzled, you know, we tried to do our own music, and it was never an easy fit. You know, I'm not traditionally musically trained. I just had to work for it. And it was as I got to the end of high school and towards the beginning of university that I started to think, actually, you know, I skipped over a very important detail. When I was 16, there was a wrestling school, which I now know was run by Ron Hutchison, who is the trainer of my trainer, Rob Fuego. And it was right at the end of my street as a child. And I called up at 16 years old. I left a message, never heard back. And so who knows the winds of change, why that happened, I don't know. But it wasn't until much later that I thought to myself, you know, athletics, performance, wrestling was truly the perfect stage for me.
Exactly.
And I just felt that I always was wanting to give it my best possible shot. So it really stressed me out when I finally got into, you know, training pretty well, to be honest. But it was one of these things where it was from day one, full speed. You know, I never looked back, and I was 100% committed from day one. That's probably why, you know, you get to rattle off this list of promotions. You know, a lot of people don't know this. I'm a 5-year professional wrestler. I've only been wrestling five fucking years.
Yep.
That's it. And honestly, you know, I it's not long at all. And I've been terribly fortunate to have so much experience. Like, I don't know exactly for sure, but even if you look at the documented matches that I've had, because there's some websites that will keep up with my records, I know that's not even all the matches. I got to figure that I'm closer, ready to exceed 500 matches in 5 years only. You know what I mean? So it's less. I think I just passed 6 years since day one in wrestling school, and now it's 5 years as a pro. So, you know, that's, I think, my biggest strength is the fact that I've been healthy, that I've been working hard, and that I've been working a lot.
Puis tu es un athlète parce que tu dis tu jouais au soccer, tu jouais au football, au hockey, tout ça. T'es bon dans tout. Fait que l'apprentissage de la lutte a sûrement été rapide aussi.
Well, tu as dit que les gens savent moi comme un frat boy. Et c'est vrai, mais c'est maintenant, ça fait comme plus qu'une année que c'est pas seulement le frat. J'ai toujours un partenaire de mon cœur pour la vie avec Trent. Mais
c'est ça, les frats. Yeah, c'est for life.
Yeah, frat for life. It's frats for eternity, tu sais. Mais ça fait un an ou plus maintenant que j'ai vraiment commencé à lutter pour moi-même. Et pour moi, mes choses favorites, c'est pas une surprise, comme c'est les FMW, ECW, les, you know, just do these hardcore fucking wrestling, man. And I think, you know, it's been very fortunate for me now that, go figure, it's become a fucking trend, I don't mind saying, you know what I mean? You look at, you know, a lot of the promotions on television and whatnot, that they're bringing back more of the hardcore stars now. And they're even guys who would never traditionally do that style of wrestling, or, you know, borrowing, we'll say, or lending, or dipping their toes into that medium. And, you know, it's funny how long you have to really do something. Like, you know, I feel as though, first of all, from the start of my career, you can find matches really in the first year where I'm doing really crazy shit, I don't mind saying. Yeah. And they're on YouTube, we'll find them. But it's been about a year or more now that I've, you know, labeled myself the hardcore character in such a way and really just done as wild a shit as I could possibly conjure up in my mind. And yet still, you know, even today, you know, and I know you guys know me so well, but it's, you know, you guys know me as the frat boy. Well, you know, it takes that long sometimes for people mm-hmm. to adjust to what you're yeah. doing creatively. And that's part of the fun as being a creative person is challenging yourself, I guess, you know.
And when you start wrestling, did you start wrestling as a tag team or
you know,
what was your first gimmick
so here's
in your first match?
Okay, you know, this may not be surprising either that I only wrestled probably one or two matches outside of the frat gimmick. Right. So how this happened was my brother and I, another shocker, Trent Gibson is my shoot brother. I don't know if you guys knew this.
Oh.
There you go. Yeah, watch out. Yeah, crazy. You know, and there's still to this day people that don't know or believe that, which is hilarious. But anyways, we started at Squared Circle Wrestling in outskirts of Toronto, Canada. And, you know, it was very fortunate to have the introduction we did because, you know, I was very nervous going in because it was something that I felt that, you know, I really wanted, you know, you're a young person, you're looking for something to do with your fucking life. And I thought this is something that I really could do well with and I wanted to do well with. And I was so nervous that I would not. And so Rob Fuego, you know, when we walked in, he was basically like our uncle from day one, you know, just a very kind, welcoming guy. Go on, get in there, kids, have a good time, wrestle, you know, take, you know, be safe. And anyways, so we just trained like beasts, you know, from day one, it was 3 days a week, which at the time was a full-blown curriculum. And somewhere along the lines, one of my trainers, I was certain that he hated me, Jordan Marquez. To this day, he might hate me, but it's okay. I love him. It's okay. He said to me, you know what, bro? He's like, honestly, man, I think people just don't like you because they think you're a douchebag. You know what I mean? Like, you're obviously like, and at the time, I was playing hockey on the campus hockey team, and I was, you know, I was partying with frats, though. I didn't, even then, I didn't want to, you know, go for the whole thing. Fuck. Right. But he said, you know, people just think you're a fucking douchebag, man. I don't know what to say to you. And I said, okay, great. I'm going to use this to my advantage. So I came up with the characters, to be full, to honest. Right. I said, let's, and actually, initially, I came up with the characters for myself and a partner of mine who we no longer do work with, though, you know, I do continue to wish him well, Brad Montague, a little drop his name right there. And then it was actually, I'll give a credit to stupid fucking Marquez, who said to me, he's like, why don't you put your brother in it? Make it a trio. So, you know, I had a couple, maybe literally just two matches. And then I headlined this big student show, and my brother and our third partner all had singles matches, and that kind of just took off from there. And this is the part where I talk myself into a hole. I don't remember the fucking question right now. But that's
so how did you start, and how does the frat?
Yes, and initially the plan actually was that my brother and Brad were going to be the tag, and that I was going to be the singles. And I liked singles just fine, and I would like to think that I showed a lot of promise very early from that position. But I also saw that just from training matches, and my brother and I had an immense amount of chemistry, and mm-hmm. I thought that as a tag team, that would be a real way into the industry, you know, just, you know, because there were so many promotions that would need tag teams, you know what I mean? And we had a unique chemistry, and that we, you know, just got along really well, and was pushing to change the booking is in a manner to say, you know, look, this is really working, you know, let's go with this. Yeah. And sure enough, finally he succumbed to my endless demands, and he booked me with my brother, and we were very fortunate to have a whack of success, or at least a whack of bookings.
Yeah.
Very early, you know what I mean? And I think that's exactly what helped us excel early and learn so much.
You like to work more. You like to work more in a tag team or a single?
At this point, I have absolutely no problem saying that my creative focus and my motivation are singles right now. You know, I'm very upfront.
You've done
with
your thing as a tag team.
Certainly for now, perhaps. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, as you know, you guys have probably gotten to know me, and others get to know me. You know how important my integrity is, my creativity is, and you know, I mean, if I feel as though, I mean, look. This is my 8th weekend in a row in Quebec. That's a lot of, and I mean that, for wrestling, and this is a lot of fucking travel, and dude, to do the stuff we do, it takes a lot of work, and if you're doing this for somebody else, or for something that you don't even have your heart into, you're gonna die, or you're gonna hate it. So that was easily the breaking point for me, and I don't mind again saying that, you know, a lot of what I wanted to do with the tag, you know, my brother wasn't exactly sharing my vision, and you know, that's fine. But it just allowed me the opportunity to express myself the way exactly that I wanted to. And then I guess, I don't know if you want to call it luck, but that vision took form relatively quickly too, you know, just with a little bit of the different look and, you know, going to the athletic shorts and, you know, going, and then, you know, you pick up little pieces along the way. I will say this nugget, because the coat, and I don't even wear the coat that much anymore, but the leather coat is actually a really funny story how I got to start wearing the coat to the ring. I just, you know, me, as it might not shock you, here's another spoiler, I like to hang out at the gym. I work out at the gym a lot. Get right out of town, huh?
You follow the Instagram stories. Yeah, you're there.
And, you know,
see the shape?
There's an old timer at the gym who is, you know, I always got on. And he's always riding Harleys. And I thought this guy was really fucking cool, you know? And he came in one day and he had this badass leather coat on. I said, damn, man, like, that's a sweet coat. And he says, oh, yeah. And he just kind of looked at me funny. The next day he walked into the gym and he goes, oh, hey, shoot name. He goes, Dave. I'm like, what? Looks over, throws the coat at me. And I say, what the fuck is this? He says, yours now. I said, oh, my God. Oh. And then the cool story doesn't end there. So I just think I now have a badass leather coat.
That's nice.
And Jordan Marquez's name's coming up again because he promotes the Demand Lucha. He books, I say to him, I have to work with PCO. I have to work. I just know. I feel it. This will be the match for me that I can show everyone exactly the type of insanity that I feel in him that we share. And at the time, because the promos, he hadn't had the name now that he does. But this was, you know, he had only released 1-2 promos. I don't even think he had done the Janela show yet. Right, I just thought that this was great. And so I wore the coat to the venue. You know, I just literally, I was like, oh, great. I'm going to go downtown this cool leather coat. And we're talking the match. And he says, oh, that's going to work really well because, you know, you're such a natural badass with this coat and the hair. And I was like, yes, of course, yes, Mr. Fucking PCO. And I literally just put the coat on.
I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, I just put the coat on. And I said, I went to the ring with the coat and it just fucking really helped.
PCO tell you look badass with it?
I was like, you're fucking right. I do. Yeah. And so I just wore the coat. And man, did we ever have one hell of a match, you know? And I think that was the first time that people got to see me not just as the frat character, the psychology-driven, narrative-driven character, and they saw me more as a wrestler and a worker and what I was able to do in the ring and, you know, the type of length I was willing to go for our craft, you know.
Mais je pense que le monde présentement, il te voit, en tout cas ici, le monde ne voit plus comme le frat boy. Je pense que c'est effacé, mais on sait que tu es frat boy puis ça peut revenir des fois. Mais on voit qu'il y a une évolution de caractère que tu fais souvent, que tu changes, puis on se demande souvent, il va-tu être aussi fou que la dernière fois ou il va être un autre quelque chose? Fait que je pense que tu as bien réussi la transition.
Well, and I don't want to, you know, to me, I'm not, I don't want to run from the character in the sense that, you know, to me, this is the natural evolution of things. Yeah. I mean, we all know the guys, the jerks we went to school with who were big jerks in university, and all of a sudden now they're buying, like, vintage records and wearing, like, you know, vintage T-shirts and shit, you know what I mean? I hope I'm not that douchebag, but the evolution of the douchebags, you know?
But you don't mind switching between your hardcore persona?
I do mind, actually. And, you know, I've become much more vocal with certain promotions that are a little more insistent on using the both me in both capacities. It is a challenge, and I am starting to adapt and understand how to best represent my current
self.
Because
there's an edge between both personas.
And I think if I can lend from both, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I think got me success with the fraternity character. Obviously, a lot of the things that worked well, and I can add that to this. You know, I do find, however, though, that wrestling is a very, and wrestling and characters and creativity are real, natural, living, breathing things. And so it shouldn't come totally as a surprise that, you know, matchups aren't just like out of nowhere. You hope, oh, this might make sense, this might make sense. There's almost like a natural course of path, maybe a magic, a divinity, something from God, whatever you want to call it, that brings me to certain matches, you know. And the more you become understanding of who you are as a character and who you are in that ring, those matchups illuminate themselves to you. You know what I mean? So it's no surprise to me now that, you know, I know the people I want to work with. And, you know, look, I'm willing to work with anybody. But at the same time, I know there's certain matches, like, you know, the day that, you know, I get to wrestle Nick Gage, or the day that I get to wrestle Homicide, or the day that, you know, just guys that are going to, you know, help, we'll say, maybe not bring potentially something new out of me, but challenge this current state of who I am. You know what I mean? And for me, what a real pleasure because of all the respect I have for those men. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, what we could hopefully do together in the ring one day. You know, that would be great. But for legal purposes, I'm not allowed into the States. Nick Gage isn't allowed into Canada. That match has to happen. International waters only. On an ocean, somewhere in a floating ring. That would be tremendous.
We already thought about making a show like in the middle of the sea on a boat.
Old FMW style in like a pool or some shit with exploding explosives around it.
So everything is allowed.
Yeah, I hope so.
International water, everything's allowed. Pay-per-view.
Ça va être ça, notre trip de booking.
Ouais.
En eau international.
In the Bahamas.
How come you become the booker of Greektown? Did you found it?
It's entirely the creation of my mind. Literally, the way it actually, the really, truly.
In 5 years of wrestling, you create your own promotion.
I was only.
Already made your name as a tag team, as a single wrestler.
I was probably only 1 year in as a pro when I started the promotion. All right. And the way that happened was, so one of my trainers too, which is a guy named Ashley Six, who not so much around here anymore. You know, some folks have an awareness of him. He did definitely help, you know, bring me from a student to more like a working wrestler in a way, you know. And especially now, to be honest, I'm still like understanding more and more about the intensity that he had, you know, imparted upon me. At the time. So he actually was a promoter of Fight Brand, and he actually went on to also found Superkicked. You know, what happened with them is for another time, but so the first promotion we ever ran, or show I ever was part of promoting, was I just collected what I felt was at the time, you know, we'd be selling 50, 60, 70 tickets just to friends and family, not even hustling the tickets, just like people were excited that we were doing this and it was fun. And so they would come to the shows. And I said to my pal, I said, you know, why don't, you know, at the time I didn't have the contacts or I didn't know anything about promoting a show. And, you know, you don't want to level jump too much and like piss everybody off at once. But I said, you know, if you want to do this, A, let's bring a show to my neighborhood, which was Greektown. There was just not wrestling in the east side of the city. There was some wrestling downtown, and it was primarily in the suburbs at the time. You know, the business has actually changed a ton in only the 5-6 years I've been there. But there was just no wrestling in the east side of the city of Toronto. And unless you go way, 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 way out to the east, you know, but that's we'll talk about that another time, too. You know, the Wrestlers Union and all that shit. Kingdom, shout out to Kingdom. But anyways, the first show was just, I think it was called SmackDown in Greektown. And I think, you know, I personally sold like 120 tickets. Oof. And I think we probably had a draw of like 150 people. And whatever that says about the fucking Fight Brand promoted. But that was a big hit. Man, we had a great time. And I thought to myself, okay, you know what? Maybe this is something we could do more regularly. And, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, our relationship with Ashley, it just dissipated in that, you know, the nature of things, you know, no hate, no beef, whatever. And then I got it in my head sometime. I said, fuck it, you know, maybe I'll try this myself, you know, because a lot of, you know, I had just family friends in the neighborhood, family businesses. They really supported what we do. So I asked them if they would be willing to be on board as sponsors. They were absolutely willing to be on board as sponsors. And the intent was, I felt that people weren't doing this at the time. They could copy the roadmap. It always shocks me people don't. But everyone was relying their booking on one big name and then a shitty card. Mm-hmm. So they would have, who would be the time, who are the names at the time I'm trying to even think that we would be on shows with? Well, I mean, badass names like Rhino. Rhino was on the Indies and shit like this. Yeah, that's rad. But like, they would be like Rhino, say, and then the rest of the card would be like almost like an afterthought. And I said, well, this doesn't make a lot of sense. Why don't I instead take the money that would cost to bring one name and just pay like 12 dope wrestlers and have a dope show from top to bottom? So the other cool thing about Greektown is we've never had a dud show. Like, every show we've done has been virtually a sellout or a sellout, and the show has been phenomenal. And that was the blueprint for how Greektown began. It started off in a Royal Canadian Legion, again, with probably about 100, or maybe, I think probably 250, 200. You know, now we've moved up and we found this beautiful venue, you know, which
it's
is
beautiful.
It's nice gorgeous. Venue. And, you know, it's nice. Oh, man, the vibes in that place. Yeah. But it's just, you know what? You get to a certain point, you know this is home. You know this is magical. It's, you know, for those of us in Toronto that know, Greektown is like it's like the Vegas Strip is Danforth. You know what I mean? Especially, and this is no joke, but really? When we were kids, like when we were 15, 16, man, the coolest shit was to just walk up and down the Danforth and just like, you know, you go like pretend like, you know, you pretend like you want to smoke a cigarette.
Your venue is on Danforth.
It's right on fucking Danforth, man. So it was right like, on I feel like it's like the Bellagio, you know what I mean? But it was, you know, that was the coolest
That's
shit,
awesome.
Man. The kids that got their license would rip around their parents' cars and, you know, we'd be up playing foosball and jits till 4 a.m. and just running around, you know, probably getting into some fights and getting, you know, just doing dumb shit. And so for us, obviously, the neighborhood always just meant so much to us. So it was a bit of a no-brainer when we went, you know, Greektown wrestling. You know what I mean? Didn't need to fucking jazz it up or, like, you know, GWXYZ or nothing.
Just we're in Greektown. It's
fucking
Greektown,
man. And that's exactly the point of it.
Exactly.
And even just one thing, another thing that differentiated us was that nobody really stuck claim to, like, a neighborhood in the city. It was like, oh, we'd run here. And then when that relationship fucked off, we'd go completely to the other end of the city. And I think it was a point of pride for the neighborhood. Because the other two things are funny is that a lot of Greektown shows didn't exist with traditional wrestling fans. They were neighborhood people who would come out and just, and I had countless people that would say, well, my son saw a poster at the Dairy Queen and decided to come to the show, and we had a phenomenal time. And really, when you think about that, where can you get any entertainment of any value for like $20 anymore? And then you go there and you're seeing, you know, now look who's been signed. You know, I mean, these are the shows that featured, you know, we had Sunny Kiss back in the day, you know, just like, you know, Josh Alexander, myself, ourselves, or just like RJ City, or just like, you know, any of these guys that are now on the cusp of or already excelled to the point of, you know, where they're at now. It's like, you don't get it's unfathomable the type of entertainment you might get, especially when you get a show that's well ran, I don't mind saying, you know. Another thing that probably what contributed to the success of Greektown was that I always liked to be a party host. Like when I was a kid, like, you know, I'm living with my folks still, like they were very kind to, like, they'd say, you know, you want to throw a party, Dave, like no problem. Like, you know, we'll fuck off for a night or, you know, for your birthday or whatever. And I'd just invite 30, 40 people over. And I remember even then walking around, like making sure everyone's having a good time and just like being wild. And I always took that approach. I always took that approach to running an event. You know, I didn't want people to sit and be like, oh, like how impressed, like, you know, I want them to have an authentic experience. Like, oh, I'm having so much fun. This is
happening.
Yeah, this is a fucking shit. You know, having beers, yelling, screaming. You don't. I want it to be accessible for everybody. You know, yes, we have great wrestlers for the wrestling fans, but we have a great live experience for folks who aren't. And you know, that's, I think, definitely contributed to the growth. And yeah, now we're in fucking Bell Vegas or Vegas.
Vegas, then
we reached it, baby. Yeah, the top. Come that's it. Way up. That's it.
And you're running monthly?
No, God, no. You know, I think actually the last year I ran way more shows than I ever intended on running. I think in the calendar year I ran 8 or 10 events, and that was already way more for me, because I'm not gonna lie to you. And we've talked about this privately. Even it's a source of a lot of stress for me.
Yeah, anxiety. Wrestling.
It's
and
becoming
promote,
that way. It's becoming that way. Yeah. You know, and certainly as it grows, you know, it's one thing again, like to promote the show, but then you're trying to promote the show, run the show, star in the show, and excel at the show, and all this at once is just like, you know, a lot of promotions. It's a lot, and a lot of promotions have, you know, how many volunteers, helpers, employees, or, you know, guys running the ship. Greektown Wrestling is not, it's a team effort, but it's a one-man ship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I steer the ship, I don't mind saying. You know, delegation is integral to success.
It's wrestling entrepreneur.
Well, that's a word I've come to really embrace as well, you know what I mean? Because to do this successfully, it's a million. It's not just two hats, as you know. It's not just wrestling and promoting, booking, you know, just doing a little bit of everything. You know, even the business relationships with the local businesses or the venues or
injuries, you know, everything, whatever
you have to deal with. And, you know, again, you know, as part of it, perhaps later, and we'll talk about, you know, it does take a toll, and I am a human being, and I probably the biggest mistake I made for so long was thinking that I was a robot, or really not even just being a robot, but just not even giving a fuck about my personal life. You know what I mean? Like the sacrifices,
pushing yourself.
Yeah, the sacrifices that I made to, you know, whatever little anthill I'm standing on now, came at a great fucking cost to me. And you know, I'm very proud of those sacrifices that I've been willing to make. But at the same time, I've never been more acutely aware now of those sacrifices, you know what I mean? And you don't get that time back. You don't get that time back with your parents that you don't spend. Right. Or you don't get that time back with the relationships that fall apart because you're doing these things. And that's something where people, they hear the word sacrifice, they think it's all well and good. But as an example, right now, I'm in Quebec 5 straight days. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What is it? 2 or 3 shows. We're doing this today. I'm going from here to do a promo with the Gabo Gang.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So let me ask you this, and I mean, without being too candid, is like, how much of a shoot life or a shoot job or like, what, like, those are the sacrifices people don't realize to be able to excel, to keep your body in a certain place, to network to a certain point, to perform on the shows, to travel to the shows, to just have any time for yourself. Where does that all occur? Like, it's like, I mean, there's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many days in a week.
Fait que si vous vous demandez des fois pourquoi vous n'êtes pas booké, c'est parce que faut en donner un petit peu. Pas que vous n'êtes pas booké, mais tu sais, que vous n'êtes pas booké peut-être autant que vous voulez ou que plus haut de ça, mais il y a du monde qui font beaucoup de sacrifices.
Ben, pour se rendre.
C'est juste des promos, là. Juste des promos, des fois, ça peut tout changer.
Well, to me, it's about embracing that too. You know, it's having a sense of pride and understanding that this is all part of a process. And you know, one thing I've learned most recently is just to really try to have some respect for your personal life. And it's important to, as we said, you know, Saturday, to take a day off and to go spend with friends and family and people who love you. And, you know, that's important. And to be honest, it services your career anyways. Because, you know what, guess what? If the day comes, Lord willing, that, you know, you get a more major financial opportunity in wrestling or a more major contract in wrestling, if you don't have any gas left in the tank to actually proceed with that opportunity, where does this take you? You know what I mean? So, you know, recharge the batteries, being more selective with the bookings I take, you know, now I charge double, guys. So, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, even just those kind of things, you know, those are lessons that now I'm having to learn, you know, and it's funny that the body and the mind has a way of making you learn those lessons if you're too ignorant to learn them yourself.
Tu donnes des séminaires aussi, ce que tu fais un peu présentement.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's like, bang, bang, bang. But, yeah, that was my first one with XZW and Sorel Québec.
That was your first one?
That was my first seminar. It was an opportunity presented to me by Oz. Maybe you guys are familiar with Oz, I understand. That's, again, such a funny experience, just being open to working and, you know, I'm glad I get to talk about this on the podcast because I think, you know, one of the biggest bones I have with other wrestlers is that everybody wants to go to the biggest promotions. They want to wrestle the top guys. They want to get paid the most money. But ain't nobody want to do no fucking work. I mean, to be honest with you, it's like, guess what? You're like, you know, I was, you know, as you know, like, I'll come to your shows on a Friday night, and, you know, these are my closest friends now. It's become that way because you say 8 weeks in a row, guess who I'm spending a lot of fucking time with? It's these guys.
Right.
So I say, hey, guys, what are you doing tomorrow? I have the night off. Oh, we're going to NSPW. So I hit up NSPW. Hey, guys, I'm going to be here. What's going on? They say, oh, we have a you know, it's better to be really candid, too. They say, well, you know, we have a match with Pee Wee. And yeah, that's great. I got to be honest, from
Pee-wee's
Toronto.
Great.
Pee-wee's awesome. I don't know Pee-wee, right? Yeah. And I ask who's Pee-wee. They say, oh, he's always this good. Is who Pee-wee is. And there's a lot of guys that would say, oh, fuck that. Fuck that. I don't want to.
I don't know him.
I don't know him. I don't know shit like this. But guess what? To me, I don't see. I see value in a very different way.
Exactly.
And I see a 17-year vet
yep.
who works his tail off. And it's actually guys like him who are putting asses in the seats because he's the one in the streets selling tickets on the radio, getting
radio
people there.
Host. Will yeah, they do, will
doing,
tell your
doing
name?
Everything. So I take a lot of pride in you know what? While motherfuckers want to go and just like hound the top promotions with emails, not even show up, just hound the top promotions. Mm. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna work with a local talent. You know, XCW, you said his name earlier, Jason Petitclerc. You know, there's a lot of people that might say something stupid about Jason, but Jason's the same one of these guys who's actually making wrestling possible in our country,
exactly.
who is selling tickets, who is working the main event, who's willing to learn. You know, to me, that's another one of those things where I woke up one morning, Manny hits me up and says, my pal Oz needs a favor. Can you head out to Sahel? I say, where the fuck is Sahel?
I'll go.
But yeah, I'll go.
Where the fuck is
I'll go. And, you know, first night, main event match with Jason. Why not? And let me tell you, we had a fucking hell of a match. I love working there. And, you know, all this time later,
you even bought your tickets for the Gabo Gang party.
I imagine my frustration. I had to buy a ticket just to get in the venue on Friday night. But I made it count. You see, I made it count.
You made it count.
Now I'm the leader of the Gabo Gang.
I guess you get the reimbursed after the show.
I hope so. We'll I'm still waiting for the receipt. I can give the receipts to the promoters, but that's, you know, that's the way it snowballs. Yeah. So, you know, you show up with an open mind. You have a great match with new people. Next thing you know, I'm running a seminar. Next thing you know, and this is, you know, future prognostication. Other people see me running seminars. They see that I'm able to do something like that, and the opportunities roll from there.
Mais je pense que tu as beaucoup cette mentalité là parce que tu book. You think that way because you're a booker. So you see people that, I don't want to do that thing. I don't want to do that thing. So
right.
You don't want to
see two steps before.
Yeah. You see the two sides of the...
I think, honestly, I don't know if it's... look, so much of, I think, what has allowed me to be successful, I like to give praise to a greater power. And it's not to say God, but there's no denying that, like, look, if I put all these energies into being an NFL player, guess what? I'm not going to be an NFL player. I, for whatever reason, feel as though I have the path to success, to excel in this form. And part of it is something like seeing value. So many of the people I work with, and, you know, that won't name names in this moment, but they just don't see real value. They say, oh, they're going to sit at home for an extra because they don't get an extra $10, or they don't want to drive here, or they don't want to work with this person. And I just think to myself, like, it's just, or like, oh, the match is only available on this service, so it must suck that you don't get to have everyone watch your match. And I just, like, how fucking stupid are these people? Pardon me. Like, yeah. I just feel like these, like, so many of us, unfortunately, hold ourselves back. It's like, you know, I mean, it's one thing to just to fight to get the opportunities to excel. I just will never allow myself to be the guy that is holding my own self back. It's you know, but I guess as they say, more for me, whatever. I don't give a shit. More for me, whatever. Pretty much.
But now that your wrestling career is going on a rise, you think about the more delegation for Greektown? Because you say you're not too fond about the delegation, but
I think about an end of Greektown.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll be honest. Because, you know, when I started doing it in the first time...
Instead of delegation?
Well, look, to get to where we're at now, it doesn't happen without immense delegation. And part of the benefit of booking such talented people is, guess what? I don't have to go tell TDT what to do in their match. Like, yeah. I know... I mean, look, if there's a narrative point, yes, exactly. Please hit this point. But I'm not going to tell them how to wrestle. Or guess what? When I bring, you know, Allison Kay in, I'm not going to tell her to have a fucking wrestling match. Like, you know, these people are going to knock out of the park exactly what I put in front of them. And also, if you put them in the right matchup, the matchup dictates itself in a way. Like, if I see who do we have? I don't know. Just you think of any of it. Sonny Kiss versus Bill Collier, who we just talked about this morning. You know, I mean, that match kind of writes. I mean, it writes it as a big man, athletic guy, running around as a big heel, like big baby. Like, it's just like you don't have. have to really reinvent the wheel to have a great match here. And part of, I guess, the real talent of a booker, I would say, is not just booking the match, but where it is on the card. You know what I mean? There's certain matches that are going to, you know,
pacing really is really important.
Pacing is everything, you know what I mean? And you get into a groove with your own promotion, as you do, and as you guys know, and have excelled at yourselves. But just full disclosure, you know what I mean? The point of the show in the first place was, there's an expression, is the rising tide raises all ships. And what that means is this, is that the promotion was meant to be the rising tide, and the ships are my pals. It's, you know, I'd never had any visions of, oh, television, ECW. Like, it was supposed to be a great opportunity to unite community. It was supposed to be a great opportunity to give a platform to people that I felt were underserviced or who deserved a little more. And it was a great opportunity to work with people that I wanted to be around. You know, when my brother and I started, the wrestling business was different. There was, I mean, and I hate to say this, maybe you hear it here first. We're getting back to some bad habits, I feel, as a community. I'm seeing cliques forming in a heavy way again, some more beef shit happening. I don't want to be a part of that garbage. But that was really heavy, and that was just ending when we got in 5-6 years ago. There was still stories of fucking, you know, a lot of people stiffing each other and fucking and ribbing each other and just and but like really nasty ways, like pissing in bags and like beating up young kids.
Oh, really?
Like, not cool shit, you know what I mean? That was just
I thought
ending.
It was, like, in the 80s.
No, sadly, no. Guys that would have started probably training and would have been performing in the mid to late 90s, they were just on the way out. And that's why, to be honest, I mean, you've seen now such a rise in performers on social media and Twitter being like, you know, fuck bullying, or you know, they'll be like, they'll just be like, oh, no, it's all wrestling is fun, it should be this and that, and it all should. If those of us are familiar with Animal Farm, the book, eventually the animals rise up to stand on their hind legs and act like the people that oppressed us in the first place. And I really hope that that's not the path we're taking right now, though I do see similarities and I fear that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I just, if I can continue to be a part of a bastion of positivity with my promotion, you know, there's not going to be any drama around me. My name gets thrown into drama at times, but I think I'd like to believe that, you know, if you people are talking about you and you're true to yourself, well, you can't control everybody. Fuck. So, you know what I mean? I operate with integrity and I operate with love. And there will come a time when, you know, my creativity is perhaps just redirected to another energy. You know, I mean, I'd love to go wrestle in Japan. I'd love to go wrestle in Mexico. That's probably my number one and two things I'd love
to
do.
When you're not in Greek town, it's hard to book it. And
it is. And, so you know, and I just, I would hate
just
to.
Just spend 8 weeks in Quebec. So
well, that's it. And I would just hate to put a show together, an event together that wasn't, you know, that wasn't with all of my abilities. You know, I hate.
Were you thinking about your booking while you were, while your day off?
Well, yeah, previously.
Saturday?
Okay, you know, you asked me for honesty, so you're going to get honesty. So, you know, this winter has been a crazy winter for me. And why that is because the best way I could describe it, man, is that if you had told me that I had PTSD, I don't know how I would have refuted. I would wake up in a sweat, 5 o'clock in the morning, shell-shocked. Like, I would just feel, like, like rattled. And it wouldn't be necessarily like, oh, I'm so hurt, or my head, I don't have any concussions. But I was just so intensely, like, electricity running through me.
Always
about, like, you know, like, you know, did this guy, you know, or like, you know, is this going to work out? What's happening with this? Is this, you know, can this happen? Or did I just fucking piss off one of my idols? Like, all this shit, you know. And that even sounds too logical as I'm saying it. It was very much stress and anxiety is illogical. You know, it's coming from a crazy place. And, you know, look, fuck it. That type of behavior starts to physically manifest itself, and you start to take ill. And
obviously,
you know what I mean. And a lot of people, express their concern. And I think a lot of people will have their misdirected concern. You know, I don't mind saying with you that, you know, people with, you know, drug addictions, alcoholism, you know, for me being naive, perhaps. I felt that because I didn't suffer from those things, I didn't have a drug addiction, I didn't have an alcohol problem, I didn't have, you know, there was no vice per se that I thought that was affecting me. So I, in my honest opinion, said to them, I don't know what the fuck you're saying right now. I feel I'm fine because, you know, we're all about the same age. We're at a grind point in our life. You know, we're building our careers. You know, we're building. And I just lost track of the fact that this is not a normal life I'm leading. You know what I mean? This is insane. You know what I mean? And it's if you pay so little mind to your personal life that it basically becomes non-existent, there's no escape. So day off, doesn't matter if you're not wrestling. I'm sitting staring at a wall, stressed out. Or you know, or I could be in the gym more, or I could be hounding this guy more, or I could be shaking this guy down for money, or I could be you know any one of a number of things. And you know, my greatest tool right now that I'm trying to really dive into and use is allowing myself a real reprieve. You know, get away from. You know, just get away and focus on, like I say, loving your family, loving your friends, reconnecting with people in a meaningful way. And, you know, and that services your heart, your mind, and it gives you gas for the future in your your professional endeavors. And, you know, if you don't, you know, the funny thing that I'm, the thought that I've had now is everyone says, oh my God, you're so crazy. How do you jump off this truck? How do you do this shit? I say to myself, man, if you don't give two fucks about the life you're jumping away from, what do you have to be afraid of? Yeah. Sounds fucked up, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you know, and it's not
sounds
that, you know,
sad.
Well, it sounds sad. Hey, you know what? I'm not ashamed of it. You know what I mean? And it was actually Emil, I don't mind saying, that that said to me, and he said to me, you know, he thinks, you know, he's like, no, I know you're good, but he's like, you know, anybody that wrestles like this, though, you got to ask yourself a question. And even then, I said to myself, what the fuck? Like, what do you mean? Like, and I didn't really understand what he meant at the time. And now I do. I do understand. It's like, guess what? Like, if you don't care, if you show up, or if you don't have, you know, if you don't. Have someone that you want to see Monday morning. Well, what does it matter if the truck you jumped off of on Sunday lands you splat on the concrete? How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you asked for right, honesty, dude. Bro. You got honesty.
Yeah, c'est une façon de voir les choses. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Si tu l'assumes, c'est correct.
Yeah.
Quand tu l'assumes, c'est correct. Ça marche bien.
So now you have someone you want to see on the Monday, God. And your family, and
hope.
Your
hope. Fucking hope. I have belief that my life matters. You know what I mean? And not just my professional life, but my personal life.
Your personal life.
And, you know, and it's easy to get disconnected from that because, you know, here's the challenging thing about adult life is that as like, you know, a lot of people are bullshit and like life's a work. You know what I mean? Like, guess what? Like regular life sucks, bro.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
not to say that, you know, I mean, you could be wealthy and regular life could suck because if you have a wife that fucking natters you off or a husband, exactly. Pardon me, or anything, if you have a job where a boss is just shitting on you, can make 150K. But if you go into work and the guy treats you like shit, well, how much do you want to go to work? And, you know, I just looked around and, you know, you try to do like sports on, you know, Wednesday night, you go play hockey with the guys. And I didn't feel like that's my place, you know, and you look it around and the guys are all saying, oh, fuck this, fuck that, or got to go into work 6 a.m. and, oh, fuck my wife, fuck this. And I just think to myself, it's like, that's exactly the life I was trying to run away from.
Yeah,
exactly. Unfortunately, you can't run away from, like, these are also the people that have sincerity in their heart somewhere deeply in there. And you have to find that and connect with certain people because that's the beauty of life. Because, you know what I mean? I never have been the type of guy that, you know, when I got into, it's never been about money and fame. And to this day, it's not about that. It's, at the same time, I lost my train of thought, and that's the most important thing. But you get where I'm going with this. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of room.
I think you mostly you want to leave your mark now. from what I heard of you,
I want to be the best.
Yeah,
I want to be the fucking best.
I want to be remembered.
Yeah, I want
to. You know, leave a mark.
Well, you know what? If you ask me about leaving your mark, I think, you know, so many people try to express that in very selfish, or have a child that can pass on my legacy. Well, dude, people are gonna forget you anyways. But I don't know. Like, and look, if I'm the world champ 10 times over, people will disrespect me and forget about me. Like the next, you know how disrespectful fucking kids are anyways. Like, you know, 15-year-old kids, they don't know who the hell Freddie Blassie is whoever you want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, I'm a
but
student.
But you remember for some.
Oh, yeah,
for
well,
some.
Yeah, well, yeah whatever exactly you fucking remember. But
yeah, who cares?
They just choose, you know, so I'm not so naive to think that I'm doing this for, you know, I don't need a statue to be erected in Greektown. I guess you try to.
But that would be awesome, though.
Yeah. Shit, you know.
Rocky statue in Greektown?
I've always just heard that, you know, it's in so many words, like, you know, you got to be working towards something bigger than yourself. And, you know, to me, like I say, it's the best example I like to give is this is a shitty meme that was floating around Christmas time, I think it was. And it was one moldy peach in a bowl of healthy peaches, and you see that the moldy peach begins to spread its mold to the other peaches. And I just feel as though that, like, when one thing is bad, it spreads. And you know, and I want to be this fucking impervious peach that just spreads fucking health and wealth and positivity and energy. And it's no surprise.
Yeah,
well, if you look at, you know, honestly, like, the thing I'm most proud of is you look at Greektown. Okay, what has Greektown done so far? It's given immense opportunities to a lot of my colleagues. It's provided a great community hub in a day and age where community is leaving urban centers left, right, and center. We have so little community anymore. I don't mind saying Greektown makes fucking money, man. Like, it's you don't get to bring the names in you that we have. of and run the volume of shows and have 500-600 people showing up without making a bit of money, thank God. So when something is good, I also, this is a personal belief, it just is wholly good, you know. And I think when something's bad, that bleeds, you know what I mean? And I think one can't exist without the other. And lately, my biggest frustration is, you know, because we're all raised to believe, you know, with hard work and treating people right, that, you know, you're going to get rewarded. And wrestling has a weird way of sometimes rewarding, maybe you want to say the wrong people. And because, you know, they say that the cream rises, but boy, does shit float. Am I right, guys?
Never heard that one, but I remember it.
I remember exactly.
What's on your checklist for the next year?
I think at this time, I'd really like to take a real shot internationally, perhaps. You know what I mean?
Wrestle Japan?
I would love to go to Japan. I would love to go to
Japan.
Already
in touch, or?
Yes, yeah. Yes, but I won't say anything more than that, because not to say that I need to kayfabe it, but just that not enough is in place yet for me to really boast about it.
You're not 3 months pregnant.
Yeah, not yet. We're waiting for that 3 months. We're waiting for that opportunity. But to me, I just think, you know, even the longer vision, right now what's most popular in wrestling, I think, are guys that are authentic, you know what I mean? Guys that are truly world-traveled, you know. Like when we were growing up, us, you know, the biggest wrestlers in the world were showmen, for the most part. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not that they couldn't work, but, you know, they were showmen first. And, you know, a lot of the guys that were wrestlers first, with the exception of, like, the Benoits or these kind of guys, they weren't the most overstars.
No.
Whereas now, it's like...
We used to like them when we were older.
Pardon me?
We liked them when we were older.
How do you
like
mean?
Like the Chris Benoit and stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, you gain the appreciation.
Yeah.
You gain the appreciation for the work, right.
Yeah. And later when you understand the work.
Well, now imagine, like, you know, just guys like, oh, look, you look around the map and the guys who have the most high quality work, you know what I mean? At the same time as I'm saying this now, a lot of people would like to think that, or will say that the wrestling, you know, has... it's kind of killing the business in some bullshit way. But I think the wrestlers have never actually had to be more well-rounded in a hybrid sense. Yeah. That, you know, if to be a real top guy, you have to actually be pretty technically sound. You have to actually be, athletic. You have to actually be able to do the high-flying. You have to be the ground-based stuff. Or you have to do a little bit of everything.
Comedic stuff and acting.
A little bit of everything. And, you know, strong on social media. Or just like a little bit of... It's just like it's a very demanding, all-encompassing profession that we're now in as a wrestler. Yeah, we'll leave it at that for that exact second. But I guess that's the opportunity that comes to my mind, yeah.
And for Greek Town, is there something big in the future for now?
You know, that's the other thing, is that I never wanted to keep to a schedule when it was like, in the sense that, you know, I have to run 6 shows. It's that, to me, especially now, what motivates me is exciting ideas. If I can bring in a wonderful guest, you know, I don't make it a secret that, you know, I've been so fortunate somehow. It's just so crazy that the idols that I grew up adoring somehow at least have shown me respect or admiration in turn. You know what I mean? Like, I share a personal relationship with Terry Funk. Like, how is that even
fucking
possible?
Awesome. Wow. That's freaking awesome.
And look, again, sometimes I got to remind him just who the hell I am, but I got to remind my 75-year-old uncle who I am too sometimes, so I don't take it personally. But, you know, the day comes that we can bring Terry, you know, I mean, if I'm not running a show that month, believe me, I will be running a show that month. Like, those are the types of ideas that can tantalize me, or matchups that can tantalize me, or just things that make strong sense for the community, or even the wrestling community. You know, I want to advance the genre. I want to advance what a show can be. You know, it sounds something so funny, but when I first started, they were called shows, so I made a point of calling my shit events. You know what I mean? Like a bigger, you know, just impose more value onto what you're doing. You know, respect what you do. Respect yourself. And I think that translates, you know, because if we were performing in front of 150 with no names, you know, we had great shows too. You know, when we brought Mick Foley and had 600, you know what I mean? We had a great show that night too. Yeah. And, you know, that represented growth for us in that time. But I think now, you know, rather than try to get bigger houses or more money, for me, I want to do exciting things that, you know, just are, you know, just allow the medium of wrestling to grow and evolve and break boundaries. And, you know, and look, I wish I could have done even more of that to this point. You know what I mean? I guess that's part of being a driven person, is that it's, you know, almost never enough. And that can drive you crazy, but it also pushes your creativity forward at the same time.
Yeah.
On est rendu là?
Pour être rendu là. Ça va développer longtemps.
Ouais. On a des questions en rafale. Ça va être des questions, mais on peut développer.
Okay.
You can talk...
Supposed to be quick question, but it's never quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I rang off anyways. Like, you want to ramble.
Your favorite pay-per-view ever?
Oh, man.
Any federation, any time.
That's a great question. You want to know? I don't know. I'm not even going to say this is that pay-per-view, but for some reason, the first one that came to my mind was I guess it was like 01 Armageddon with the Hell in the Cell, the six-man Armageddon.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea. Rikishi falling off the top.
Was that the one?
Yeah,
yeah,
with the six-man.
That's when he got when Taker
gave him
into the truck. Into the truck with the hay.
Yeah.
I think the reason why that one came to my mind was because that was the first pay-per-view, this is real, that my grandfather, we used to be always, I have to go to my buddy's places because my parents, okay, I'm going to throw some shit on my folks, they wouldn't let me buy pay-per-view at home. My parents, said, when I was a kid, they didn't love, they didn't like that, they didn't like that we liked wrestling as a kid. I don't know.
That's fuck too violent.
I'll say here.
And your brother at home, freaking stuff?
Well, and that's it. And we did. We used to put the pillows down in the living room and fuck each other up. But that was the first pay-per-view that my granddad.
That might be why they didn't want you to like wrestling.
Well, I hope it's that simple. I don't know. I'm sure it's much more convoluted and stupid. But it was my grandfather. I think he had the neighbor's kids over. He had my brother and I over and a couple of our pals. Bought PPV. And at the time, Kurt Angle was the man. You know what I mean?
Man.
So that sticks out super huge in my head. I don't know why that's the pay-per-view, but I'm going to say it.
your favorite finishing move? Finisher move?
My own, the Manny Driver. I guess it's a version of the Key Crusher. I did it for Manny, but now it just looks rad. So it was the perfect. And shout out to superstar Shane Hawk, who said, this could be a cool move for you to use. And I think I completely agree. And it was the perfect thing I was looking for because I didn't have that devastating maneuver before then.
It's awesome. Your favorite storyline?
Favorite storyline? This is interesting.
Is there one particularly coming to mind?
I'm trying to think what the first
the NWO is.
What's the first one that came into my mind? I'm drawing like full blank on this question.
Or it could be your own at Greektown.
Oh, okay.
A storyline of Greektown. One of Greektown that you really liked. That come out really well.
I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about something that I just like. I'm excited to do in wrestling. So there you go. This is it's a storyline. It's a feud idea. But basically, at this weird cosmic energy that's occurred, where I have this kinship with these hardcore idols or hardcore peers. They don't have to be fucking famous. Just guys that like, hey, here's a name, Green Phantom or Sexy Eddie or guys that just been bleeding for the business for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get off on the idea of being like a hardcore legend killer. I want to do the rounds and fuck those guys up and. either bring those guys, bring those guys back to glory, and as they are,
and
their
killing
hands.
Them.
Yeah, well, either the way I look at it is this: either they take me out and regain the glory that they had in their former days, or I end their fucking careers.
Wow,
an idea.
Your favorite belt?
Well, I'm talking to two bookers right now. Fuck, I don't know, three bookers and a jackass. Who's gonna book it first?
Your favorite design, the belt design,
Big Goldie. WCW championship.
The big goal, yeah.
Yeah.
And the worst?
It's got to be one of the shitty, in the early 2000s, WWE kind of flip-flopped their belts a bunch, did they not? Or even there was, what's the most big letdown one I'm trying to think of? Who would be the ugliest belt? As you can see, these are not the stuff that I know, I guess I spend a lot of time thinking about. The shittiest belt. I'm hoping maybe this one I've had that's been absolutely rancid. What could be?
You had an ugly belt. Your first belt, was it good?
I haven't won many championships in my career.
The first belt for Greektown.
Oh, for Greektown. We've never had a championship belt. We always had. That was another thing.
Cup.
We had a championship cup.
That's true.
We had a championship cup, which I was always proud of. Which actually started as our backyard wrestling championship. That's true. Oh. That's where it began. And, there's a really funny story about the cup. I don't know. Do you want me to tell the story about the cup?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sure.
This is great. I hope Big Time doesn't Big Time Bill Collier doesn't get upset when he hears this story. But it's gonna be very funny. So again, when we started the promotion. It was just to give great work to my pals. And so the second show we ever ran, which was called Mayhem in Greektown, when we also started the Greektown shows, every show was a WCW name in Greektown. But nobody caught on. They didn't know for the longest time. And it got pretty obvious, like Fall Brawl in Greektown, Mayhem in Greektown, Starcade in Greektown. No.
Wow.
And so Mayhem rolls around, and I realized I kind of like overbooked the show in a sense. I was like, oh, fuck, like I don't have a good thing for Bill to do. Like, what am I going to do with Bill? So we devised this whole ridiculous story where we ran a rumble, and the winner of the rumble is going to be winner of this random cup. And the cup was the championship that we had in our backyard wrestling federation when we were like teenagers, and with no concept of where this cup would go. And so we took off. It literally said Palm Beach Wrestling on the cup, because that's where it was at our buddy's cottage. So we took that off and put Greektown on it, and it was like a weightlifting trophy. Like the guy on the top, it's like a weightlifter. And so he wins this cup, and then we say, oh shit, I guess that's our championship now. And so so we just started feuding him and at the time the Playboy John Atlas for this stupid cup. And then that feud got so exciting that when Atlas finally went over on Collier for this cup, it was like, wow, he was the Greektown Cup champion, and that was like saved us from buying $1,000 belt. So that's
funny. Yeah, that's how you save a belt.
Sorry, Bill. I mean, we love you, Bill. Whatever you want to go with it.
That's how you save for a belt.
Your favorite wrestling song?
You know, this is not it, but you know what the first thing that came out was? Bow down to the... Just because we were ripping on that song right before.
Just because we talk about it.
I want to give a real answer, though, because I like music. Fuck, I want to give a real answer. You know what I listen to? This is so stupid.
You pop every time.
This is real. Some mornings, I start my morning, cup of coffee, jump in the shower, and I play the franchise Shane Douglas's ECW theme.
Really?
Of all fucking songs. You know, I think what happens is I end up, once these guys get booked on the show, I get so into like getting into their careers and so into going back and watching their matches. So having just finally booked, you know, I love Shane, and finally he's coming to Greektown for me. In my heart is finally. You know, and that's a an anecdotal funny song we can bring up right now. But then who's better song than Sabu? Fuck. When you hear that, when Sabu is a hit,
theme song.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
I'm going to get chills when that guy comes to the ring when I have to fuck that guy up.
And the worst?
Worst theme. Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man.
China.
That's actually pretty good probably. But
yeah, her?
Yeah, that was solid. These are just, you know, I'm treating this like a stream of consciousness now. Like you say something and I'm just saying it's the first thing. I don't know why that was the first one. There's probably so many bad ones. Fuck.
Yeah. That one wasn't
we'll go
that,
with
that good,
one
but
for, yeah, we'll
it
go
fit
for,
it, yeah, for yeah. China.
Always my answer will be Jeff Jarrett. I'm sure Jeff Jarrett had him. Oh, he had some good ones too, actually. Like the cold country ones. I'm shitting the bed on that. I'm pété le sac on this one.
Your favorite tag team?
Probably either the Midnight Express or... Could be Rock and Roll Express. For a long time, my answer would have been the Rock and Roll Express. For a long time. I would probably go with one of those two. I like those guys.
Favorite match gimmick?
Right now I'm having a lot of success with the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, to be true to the actual terminology, I think when I do my hardcore matches, it kind of blends more, like it borrows from more like the deathmatch style. Though I'm not going to, you know, there's so many talented folks that, you know, really have excelled with that medium too. I have done a deathmatch, you know what I mean? But I definitely have so much respect for them that I'm not going to, you know, pretend like I'm, I don't know. You know,
it's something else.
It's different tropes, you know, in terms of different weaponry and all this. So I like that. I guess I kind of have kind of, well, you know, we also had a bunch of success again. You know, people kind of overlook, but the Frat House Brawl was our staple match for a number of years. Yeah. And if you can go back, there's a number of Frat House Brawls with Super Smash Bros, with in Pittsburgh with the main event, other people, or Ashley Six, where those are violent matches, like very violent matches. And, you know what I mean? That's why I think it's so funny is that, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, you know, he's doing this hardcore thing now. It's like, you know, you can go back from the day one of my career and you're going to find some violent matches.
I always drive in hardcore matches.
Yeah, it's funny that way, but that people saw the character first, I guess. Why I departed the character.
And even in your hardcore match, you always have good psychology. It's not just spot and... brutality.
There's
good wrestling. There's good psychology.
You're supposed to build the weapon to the weapons as you would a high spot without the weapons. You know, that's the way to do it. And I think that's the beauty of it too. Is that part of why I'm so excited or so proud of this, you know, iteration of my character is that, you know, so much of hardcore wrestling is associated with trash bag wrestling or like, the people say you don't need the weapons. Well, it's not a matter of need, you know what I mean? This is a creative decision.
I don't need to do a backflip, I'll do a backflip.
Yeah, sure, so you know what I mean? The same way you introduce the table. Well, if you just pull out a table and powerbomb a guy through the table, it's not very exciting. But, you know, I mean, if you hit one of your signature moves and brother kicks out, go for the table and you set up the table, but the table gets spoiled. And then 5 minutes later, when someone finally goes to that table for the finish, everyone's going to count 1, 2, 3 really loudly. You've got the most value out of that spot.
Right. Exactly. And even though you're fond of hardcore, I never think I saw you do a blading jab, and that's really good because I'm not.
We're not a fan of blading jab.
Yeah. I tried
actually,
to.
I hate it.
I've tried to and failed once.
Really?
Yeah. PCO match, I did.
In your PCO match, you wanted to.
I tried to. I did. Well, it didn't really fail.
When I had some collars in the match.
Yeah, yeah. It did. It just there. The photos are the blood's all there, but it you know.
But it was nasty.
You wanted it to be like pouring down your face, and I remember it was. I think I gave the blade to the and PCO was very professional. You know, he showed me how to tape the blade and everything. He thought I was crazy for wanting to do it, but whatever. And so the spot was I had a keg in my hands, of course, because it was a frat house brawl. And I went to do a moonsault with the keg, and he was supposed to roll in. That. So the idea is I roll in, I smoke my head off the keg, and then I would like roll out of the ring, and while I fall to the floor, I can blade. And I didn't know why. Everyone, you know, you hear two or three, you know, you poke and you twist, or you know, you hear something, you know, things like this.
Never heard that one. I heard some.
Anyway, so I get under there, and like when you actually get down there, you're like, oh my god, I have a blade in my hand, and I have to serrate my forehead in this moment. I was like, this is very different than how I envisioned it. So there I am, like it looked like I got like 100 cat scratches. I'm just like ripping along my forehead, just like hoping any of these draw blood. And then I'm like, fuck it, I'll try to poke and twist. I don't know if any of them worked, but when I finally came to up in the ring, it just
and you
like
don't feel
cat.
It.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah, it looks like a cat as I heard, you don't has gone across my forehead, and there's like three or two drops of blood. And I was like, well. I guess that was a good attempt, wasn't it?
That's you know not what, I mean? What a keg is supposed to do in the forehead, but
we'll go with it. Exactly.
We'll go with it. Don't go with that. No, don't do that. You don't need. But I said that with the weapon.
Exactly.
You don't need it, but.
The day will come. The big blood feud with me and Brad Alexis, right? Whenever that comes.
For the big belt.
Ooh, brother.
Where we were at?
What's your dream match with the stipulation, with the gimmick match,
where?
All encompassing everything.
Yeah,
yeah, and
dead or alive.
Dead or alive. Oh my god.
Anyone at his prime.
Well, I mean, I probably I would say either like an 89 funk, or maybe even like a 99 or like a 97 or 8 funk, or like currently right now, I really just want to wrestle Homicide. I really want to wrestle Homicide a lot. But yeah, I guess anything, man. If we could do, if I could insert myself into the history of the Viking Hall Arena, which I've with
where is that?
That's the 2300 Arena. Oh. Now it's called today. Okay. You know, that's the OG name, which I've learned. To be honest, like it sounds funny, but like wrestling Mikey Whipwreck to me was like honestly like I thought of it as like a fantasy. Like you know, I was actually, I mean, not that I'm a huge guy now, but I always really kind of like looked towards Mikey as like. You know, a guy that, you know, got a lot out of a very little kind of physique and a frame, you know what I mean? Like, you know, bumped like a motherfucker and just like, you know, had so much like just like fighting from underneath and was like an underdog. And, you know, safe to say, his in the last 15 years or he kind of have fallen, maybe not out of favor, but just like a lot of fans don't know the body of work that he put together or maybe even could have put together.
Yeah.
But I always loved Mikey and the fact that he, to be honest, he came out of retirement exclusively to wrestle me.
Oh,
you know what
really?
I mean? And I get to brag about this, but he turned down Joey's show. MJF actually asked him to work. I get to brag about it. I hope maybe Max will hear this one day. Fucking Max. But Max wanted to work Mikey on Joey's show. He said, no, I don't want to do it. And whatever reason, somehow Mikey and I just hit it off, and he said, for you, I'll do it. And he came back and he fucking rested. And well, that's we figured this out. We were wasted when we talked about this, but I thought I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna forget about this. But no, he was so serious. I was so shocked.
Wow.
And so to wrestle Mikey was
you respect his drunk promise.
That's right, I did. And you know, to me, Mikey was everything. The retirement coming out of and the whole bit and the match I was so proud of, which I'm finally gonna get a chance to release. I mean, I just talked to my guy today. He's finally polished it up with editing all that shit. But if I had to go completely, like, you know, what was that four-way? There was that famous four-way when Funk wins the ECW Championship for the first time. It's like it's Terry, it's Sandman, and it is, I can't remember the third. And then the winner of that three-way goes on to instantly face Raven for the championship. It would be Terry, Sandman, and me. And then I would beat fucking those guys. And then I would beat Raven too for the ECW championship. Fuck those guys.
In the ECW arena.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. In that exact moment, that would be me.
What's your thought about AEW?
What's my thought about AEW? Yeah. I hope that it just doesn't become another corporate replica of WWE. You know what I mean? I think that we'll got them to the dance. Look for me saying this. Fuck, I have any place on this. But you know, as like being the alternative. You know what I mean? And I hope that that stays true and the independent spirit remains the same and that they excel greatly and provide an alternative for many workers to go to. And you know, already you've seen that there's been a bit of an arms race, which is great for wrestlers. You know, much more signings, much more money available. So,
not good for all the indies, but
well, you
for
know
us promoters.
You know, I'll say this: as you know, what I think that. we can get into, we got into, a lot of promoters got into a bad habit, I think, you know, and it just like only circulating these certain names, like these are the names, you know. And I think the reality is if we just kind of like all stuck towards like a territory style system, we all have like six or seven guys within our area that can just like crush it. And not only that, I've seen both sides of this where you can try to put the rocket ship on somebody's back and they it doesn't matter if you put them in the right spot or, you know, they're not going to take it and run. But there's other people that if you give them the opportunity, you may not even know it, but they're going to excel and grow into that space. So, you know, now is the first time. Now it's still fresh. People are talking shit on the indies now, but it's still so fresh that there's opportunities for so many of us. And, you know, to be honest, guys like me, this is, I guess, who is going to benefit or, you know, who can now move up the card into the top spot and have an opportunity to run with it. And if I, you know, guys like me can continue to crush it or, you know, excel and grow beyond that, then I think that that's the nature of things. And I think that things will also kind of regulate themselves, you know what I mean? Like this, like, look, you don't need to have 100 guys at the PC and, you know, it's just like, you know, it's, you know, I think it's still a reactionary time, you know what I mean? And we'll see where the business is in yet another 3 to 5 years, you know what I mean? Because it's always evolving, growing, changing, sometimes subsiding, sometimes, you know, shifting laterally. So those are my thoughts on it. I wish them the best, of course. And maybe one day I'll be involved too, fuck.
Maybe.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope so.
That's more a quicker question. Like WCW or WWF?
I was WCW, hands down.
Steve Austin or The Rock?
Steve Austin.
Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart?
Bret Hart.
Hogan or Ric Flair?
Flair.
Triple H or Macho Man?
Match.
Jeff Hardy or Rob Van Damme?
Van Damme.
Sting or Undertaker?
Sting.
NWO or DX?
NWO.
Lita or Trish?
Trish.
Sable or Sunny? At their prime. Not the sunny days.
It's the Sable. Yeah, Sable. Me and the boys were ready for the grind when we were 12.
Lex Luger or Ultimate Warrior?
Man, that's a real good one. I'm still going to go Ultimate Warrior.
Bam Bam Bigelow or Vader?
Man, I want to choose. I would love to choose both. I love them absolutely both. I guess I'll go Bam Bam.
Rey Mysterio or Eddie Guerrero?
Infinite respect. Ray's probably been one of the biggest legends that ever showed so much respect to a room. I've never seen a guy show so much respect to everyone in a room. Of course, I never had the opportunity to share a room with Eddie, but I'll go with Eddie in this case. But just I wanted to get both of those points across.
Lance Storm or Dean Malenko?
Lance. Yeah. And if he has to be serious for at least a minute.
but if Lance. I can be serious for a minute.
But Lance.
Charlotte, Sasha or Bailey?
To me, there's no question.
Or Becky.
Charlotte. Or Becky.
Charlotte, okay, still Charlotte. Becky,
yeah. Rick Rude or Rick Martel?
Oh, respect to Martel, but Rick Rude.
TDT or 3.0?
You know, it's a shame to say that by the time I actually got into the scene, that 3.0 was not terribly.
That's what I thought.
I just didn't get to see them a lot. You know, now I've got to know both of them so well, and man, are they ever the guys that deserve that success and the man. But it's TDT is uniquely fucking over. They are my boys, and not just that, they are the men.
So Mathieu or Thomas?
Fuck you, Mathieu, Thomas. Woo! That's it, huh?
TDT or SSB, Super Smash?
You know what? Super Smash already has their contract, so TDT.
Stu or Uno?
Man, they both bring such different things to the table. Yep. I've had a chance to work much more closely. Wow, man, even recently I worked with Stu, and he's the man, too. You just flip a coin, and then I land on Uno.
Cody or Kenny Omega?
Omega.
Will Ospreay or Ricochet? Rick O'Shea?
Osprey.
Keith Lee or Jeff Cobb?
Cobb.
Matt Riddle, Tom Lawler?
Riddle.
Young Buck, Revival?
Yeah. Fuck the Revival.
Okada, Naito?
Pardon me?
Okada or Naito?
Naito. That's a tough one. Well, fuck it. I happen to just personally like Naito. They're both fucking them, but the best, whatever.
Seems I think that's it for the question, for the rafale.
How many of these answers are going to sink me somewhere? Where am I going to get the most heat? Où est-ce que je vais avoir la plus de chaleur?
I don't know.
Thomas et Mathieu, tu as répondu vite. Là, les gens ne veulent pas répondre, ils ont peur.
We usually go more with the Québécois, but
yeah.
we don't know who you know between them. So.
Let's try some. This is funny. Maybe not. I don't want to insult anyone if I don't know them. That's my.
Oh, let's see. He's now part of the Gabo gang. So Kevin Blanchard or Bucks Belmar?
Fuck it, I'll talk about this extensively. I love them both, but man, Bucks is a unique fucking pro, man. Like, to me, being around Bucks, man, he is smart beyond maybe anyone's knowledge. There was a time when he was supposed to be the Greektown Cup champion, and he would have been. It's just, I think he was just taking a bit of a propose at the time, but like, he was supposed to beat the Playboy at a time to be a Greektown Cup champion. I still to this day think that a healthy Bucks is one of the best wrestlers in the fucking world. Yep, I love Bucks. So, really Kevin, I love you. We'll go Bucks.
Mais on n'a pas beaucoup parlé justement du Gabo Gang là.
Eh oui.
Vendredi dernier, t'es rentré, t'es rendu un
vrai blog, on va plugger.
T'es rendu un membre du Gabo Gang.
Yes, c'est ça. Je pense que ça a commencé comme une blague avec toi la mois passé.
Qui est fait broken là.
Yeah, whoops. Mais man, I thought once we talked, got more serious about it. Man, I thought it'd make a lot of sense. It's a good opportunity for me to, you know, everyone getting a little bit of rub there. I think, you know what I mean, I can, you know, show my respect for, you know, Quebec wrestling, and they get a little more exposure to outside of Quebec, and you know, the opportunities now we have.
And you
are
can
endless.
Still work as a single.
Oh fuck yeah!
Et nous on aime beaucoup les stables, puis il y en a pas assez.
Well, this is the first time that I've actually ever been in a stable. I mean, other than a tag, I guess, you know what I mean? But this is the first time. Like,
stables are awesome.
They're
missing
awesome.
Stable.
Now that I get to do more, to be honest, another thing that excites me too is that now that I'm a more singles wrestler, that I actually pair with other guys that may be more akin to what I'm doing now. To be honest, I think a tag team like Kobe Durst would be cool. Like a tag team with like fucking Crazy Manny would be cool. Like just like, it's like cool, like just like cool pairings, you know what I mean?
Mais en faisant ça, t'es rendu tag team champion?
Yeah. Cool. Oh yeah, I am tagging.
You're
right?
Just tagging.
Oh, the freebird rules.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So do I get to defend him now?
Yeah.
Bah, ça dépend de Gabo. Exactly. Il veut pas le défendre.
Wait, Kevin, yeah. Kevin,
he's,
and
he's
Kevin.
The unfighting champion.
The unfighting champion. Okay. Blanchard et Decker contre TDT.
Oh,
hello.
That could be something.
That'd be fun. Fuck it.
I don't think Matt Gabo want to risk it.
Okay, yeah. That's okay. I'll just
not that he doesn't trust you guys, but
I'll go after.
He's really. You really want to keep those belts.
Fait que pour les prochains temps, on te voit où? On te suit où? C'est où qu'on voit partout? Ben, moi, je
sais,
là, mais...
Mon prochain combat, c'est contre Gangrel.
Oh, shit.
Ça fait
where's that?
Destiny Wrestling à Toronto. Awesome. C'est dimanche. When? Dimanche. Oui, c'est dimanche. Cette semaine.
12.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
May 12.
That's it. That's
j'imagine que,
May.
Comme d'habitude, tu vas être live in Facebook.
Ah, mais... C'est horrible. Hier soir, avec Thomas à Battle War, nous avons un combat, un de notre préféré dans toute notre carrière. Il n'y avait aucun gens qui a filmé. Et ça fait, oh mon Dieu, mon cœur a cassé à ce moment. Quand je parle maintenant en français, je pense que c'était, je voulais que j'ai parlé plus en français, mais OK, I got
mais non, it's OK, man.
T'as eu beaucoup de matchs en single avec Thomas?
Non, ça s'est passé sûrement le deuxième, parce que je pense que j'avais un combat avec toi pour LDDC.
Ouais. Mm-hmm. Le title.
Et c'est sûrement le deuxième. Mais
ça, qui aurait pu être, je pense que... C'est ça, on brise encore le kayfabe qui était supposé être une série de matchs un peu, là, mais ça change.
Mais avec Mathieu, j'ai lutté avec Mathieu en plus. Beaucoup. Pourtant, il y a quelque chose, tellement des promotions pensent que moi et Mathieu, c'est comme le meilleur combat. Il y avait beaucoup de combats qui étaient formidables, mais we've had our bad ones too, fuck it. You know what I mean? It sometimes doesn't always work out.
Mais pour continuer dans tes plugs, suivez-le sur son Facebook parce qu'il est tout le temps en live. Vous pouvez voir ses matchs un peu partout. C'est tout le temps des très bons matchs. On a pu le voir dans les Maritimes, on peut le voir à LDDC, on peut le voir à AWS quand il va tout le temps. Il s'arrange tout le temps, même si les gens ne veulent pas que leur match soit là, ben, il y a tout le temps un live qui se donne quand même. Même si on est dit de faire une promo et qu'on va la sortir le lendemain, il va quand même la sortir avant. Fait, suivez son Facebook, vous allez tout voir.
That's it. Well, that's another thing I think. Content is king. We have such accessibility now, fuck. And it's so easy for me to throw. And so many promotions don't want to film their shit or don't want to release it. But
your Facebook is Channing Decker.
Channing Decker, yeah.
Yeah, Instagram.
Instagram, the Channing Decker.
The Channing Decker.
Twitter, Channing _ Decker. I'm most frequent on posting on those.
Greektown?
Greektown,
you can also follow Greektown on wrestling on Instagram, please, and Facebook.
And Facebook as well, Twitter as well. As best as I can.
You have a channel YouTube, I think.
Yeah, that we do have. You know, that admittingly, that's talk about delegation. I've always delegated that. I'm not. I'm tech savviness is not my forte so much, but there is a frat. YouTube and a Greektown, and you know we actually part of it as well. That kind
and
of
your brother have a YouTube channel with
the video
game.
Yeah, the video game channel, video games on the internet. I think he runs that out of the frat page, I believe.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, we always give a ton of all of our content. Greektown is for free. we just and that and that's just so that people can see the work. That's the point, right. You know what I mean? We want to see people to be exposed to the work as much as possible. Whole shows.
So
we
here
do.
In Montreal, if we can go up there, a 5-hour drive to see, to see the show, we can all see that online.
That, well, that's also true. Yes, I mean, I hope that you guys do come too, because the live experience is genuinely unique. You know,
do you, do you print DVDs as well?
We tried to do that, and I just find the DVDs don't sell it terribly. It's actually kind of expensive, or like it's like a laborious process to do that. Yeah. I definitely want to have our entire library easily accessible online in the near future. A lot of it is still already on YouTube now for free. You go and we watch it. We're just about to release our last event, which was it was Greektown 13, Unholy. Of course, main event being the frat versus the reunited Unholy Alliance of Mikey Whitbreak and Tajiri, which was a
was
probably the match I'm most proud of in my entire career. And we're going to put the whole show up for free. We're going to put certainly all the matches up, maybe even individually as well, clips as well to follow. You know, that's it, man. I just think that, you know, fuck the paywall. You know, I don't, it's not about posturing, it's about exposure. And that's exactly what we're going to do. That's the main thing. That's it.
Yeah. Who in the Quebec of, and the province of Quebec you didn't have a match with and you want to have a match with for all the bookers?
Marco Estrada.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
And that's as I get more and more fucking jacked,
obviously.
His days are fucking
numbered. But it has to be in Quebec, so.
It has to be in Quebec.
It's for you, Steve.
That's it, that's it.
This one's for you, Steve.
Salut, Steve. Well, you know what? Once I, you know, once I start start collecting a few more of these championship belts, I think it's going to be, the, you know, if Marco, look, if Marco has any balls, okay, like if he I see him on Instagram, he's posting all the cute photos and the shorts and everything, but if he wants to actually get into the ring with a guy that can fuck shit up, you know, let's see if he's the champion he thinks he is, you know what I mean? Because I'm gonna bring it to his fucking kitchen, you know what I'm talking about? Fuck you, Marco.
You want to see that match?
Yeah, bang,
wanna see that match?
Yeah, I want to see that match too.
Wow. So c'était ça aujourd'hui, je pense.
C'était vraiment cool.
Oui.
Non, et merci beaucoup d'être venu.
It's absolutely my pleasure. You know, I didn't get a chance to say it to you guys too, but you know, I think it's probably the LDDC that actually introduced me to the Quebec wrestling scene. You know what I mean? I remember speaking to Max actually, Free Max, and you know, he had obviously become he had been very aware of my career at that time in Greektown, and I was flattered. And when he brought me out there, I didn't know a lot about LDDC or even the Quebec wrestling scene. I don't mind.
La première fois que t'es venu chez nous, je suis tombé en amour avec ton work dans le ring. Puis après ça, quand je t'ai vu en serviette puis en gogoon chillé backstage, fait comme ok, non, ce gars-là, on le book à toutes les shows, il est parfait. Fuck him.
It was a good fit for my wife, wasn't it? Fuck. And, dude, you know, it's become a second home to me. I mean, I'd like to say that Montreal has become a second home to me, but fuck, I'm here more than my own home. So, I don't know. They're interchangeable at this place, man. We'll call this territory, this province, this city means the world to me. The people here are everything to me. I love it, and it's just been a fucking pleasure, man.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. So, we will see you in next September for the beginning of the next season.
That's it.
And in the promo for this summer, we will see you each wrestling show in Quebec, in the province of Quebec. So,
suivez-le, très actif sur les réseaux sociaux.
Puis déplacez-vous là. Il va y avoir cet été pendant SummerSlam, il va y avoir c'est Greektown avec beaucoup de monde. C'est The Collective, je pense.
The Collective.
On peut parler de ça pendant le big summer.
Maybe not that exact wording. We're still hammering out exactly. What
anyway, il va y avoir plusieurs fédérations ensemble qui vont organiser de la lutte autant québécoise que Ontario. Puis ça
va être. Spoiling anything now.
No,
c'est déjà annoncé, je le sais.
Yeah. Well, you never know with Manny. You know, sometimes this guy.
Ben, je dis ce qui a été annoncé. Je dis ce qui a été annoncé.
That's it. We announced however long ago.
Ce qu'on sait présentement, c'est qu'il y a Greektown, il y a ISW puis IWS dedans.
Il va faire un gros show pendant le SummerSlam weekend.
I just found out that ISW was involved, actually.
Ben, je pense. Ben, OK, je me trompe peut-être, mais en tout cas, bref.
Let's talk to Steve, NSPW. Where's Steve?
Exact. Fait que checkez les réseaux sociaux, checkez toutes les nouvelles, puis on sort des nouvelles bientôt. C'est la descente du coude,
le podcast qui run la place.